Hello, this is Rabbi Mordechai Fleischer of the Denver Community Kollel, bringing you this week's Thought on the Parsha. This week's Parsha, Parsha's Balak, discusses the attempt by Balak, the king of Moab, and Bilam, a Gentile prophet who was hired by Balak to curse the Jewish people, their attempts at cursing the Jewish people, trying to destroy them, their attempts at decimating them, and the fact that God intervened and made sure that Bilam would not curse the Jewish people, and instead his attempts at cursing were turned into blessings. One of the more fascinating things that come out of the entire parsha is that Balak brought a number of sacrifices to God. These sacrifices, which were mandated, ordered by Bilam, were a means of trying to bring sacrifices to God and trying to get God to allow Bilam to curse the Jewish people, to get God to communicate, to rest his presence upon the prophet Bilam, and the hope that thereby Bilam would be successful in his attempts to curse the Jewish people. These sacrifices weren't just lip service. They were, in fact, real, genuine sacrifices brought with all the proper intentions and Kabbalistic thoughts and so on and so forth that sacrifices were brought with in the temple when done properly by the Kohanim. And Bilam, being a prophet, knew how to do these things, and he basically was trying to bring sacrifices in an attempt to get God to be on his side, as it were. That idea, the attempt to bribe God, as it were, is a discussion unto itself, but what I want to focus on is a Talmudic passage that says that a person should always engage in performing a mitzvah, even shelo lishma, even for ulterior motives, because mitach shelo lishma balishma, because through performing a mitzvah for the wrong reasons, one will eventually come to perform the mitzvah for the right reasons. And the Talmud source of this is from Balak himself, because the Talmud says that Balak brought a number of sacrifices to God, and even though he brought them for his own purposes, he wanted Bilam to be able to curse the Jewish people. He wasn't really bringing them because he wanted to serve God in the truest sense of the word, but because he wanted to be able to get Bilam to succeed in his mission of decimating, destroying the Jewish people. Nonetheless, says the Talmud, Balak had a very, very prestigious descendant, a woman by the name of Ruth, who was a Moabite princess, and she ultimately converted, and she was the progenitor, the ancestor of King David and the entire Davidic dynasty, and ultimately she is the matriarch of a line that will lead to the Mashiach, to the Messiah. There are sources that indicate that this idea of lishma, of doing a mitzvah for its own sake, of shelo lishma, of doing a mitzvah not for its own sake, for ulterior motives, only works when one intends to eventually come to a higher level of performing the mitzvah for its own sake. And if one is just doing the mitzvah completely for ulterior motives, completely for selfish purposes, with no intent to ever serve God properly, then this whole formula is not going to work. If one really wants to serve God properly, but is not holding by it, for example, one wants to perform a mitzvah properly, but it's hard, it's time-consuming, it's stressful, but there's some honor involved in performing the mitzvah, and that will drive the person to do it properly. So then, using that honor as a means of doing it properly, with the hope that one day I'll come to do it the right way, completely in an altruistic fashion, only for the sake of serving God, then that's a valid means and is even encouraged. One should be doing that. Rabbi Yitzchok Kuttner, the great Rosh Yeshiva, the Dean of Yeshivas, Rabbi Chaim Berlin, raises a very, very basic question. He asks that Balak is not doing this with any intent whatsoever to ultimately come to serve God completely for the sake of serving God. On the contrary, Balak is totally disinterested in serving God. Balak's sole purpose is in his own ends, in trying to defeat the Jewish people and destroy them, and these sacrifices are completely not only for his own purposes, but for sinful purposes of trying to destroy and to harm the Jewish people. And that being the case, asks Rabbi Huttner, how can one possibly say that if this is the source of the idea of doing a mitzvah for ulterior motives, for one's own selfish reasons, that it has to be done with the ultimate intent of doing it for the right reasons, if Balak is the source and Balak had absolutely no intent of doing it for the right reasons? Perhaps we can answer as follows, that the Talmud is not bringing forth the idea of how one should do a mitzvah shelo lishma. that the Talmud is not coming to teach us. The fact of the matter is that the right way to do a mitzvah, even if it's for altruistic purposes, is only where one is attempting to eventually do it for the right reasons, and then one can do it even for selfish motives, because eventually the person will grow in his service of God, will become a better person, will be able to serve God for the right reasons. And indeed, Balak's sacrifices had none of that, and Balak would never become the individual who is serving God for the right reasons. The proof the Talmud is bringing us is just of the power of an act of a mitzvah. That when a person performs a mitzvah, when a person does a mitzvah act, that has impact, that has power. Even if the intent is less than ideal, but just the very fact that one is engaged in doing a mitzvah, and one is trying to do it, even if for his own ends, his own purposes, but the act itself has power. And the proof of that is Balak, because even though Balak had bad intents, but nonetheless it made an impact. And even though in his own life he never became a greater person, but that impact was felt decades, really centuries later, many years later, when his descendant Ruth became a righteous convert to Judaism and eventually founded the Davidic dynasty. And it was his act, his mitzvah act, which made that positive impact. And so yes, it's true that Balak is not the poster child for how to perform a mitzvah for less than ideal reasons in order to eventually come to do it for the right reasons, but he is a poster child, and this is the Talmud's proof, that an act of a mitzvah, even with less than ideal intentions, is nonetheless an impactful action and has an impact in one's life. While this is a much longer discussion, and one where one can or cannot perform mitzvahs, and how one should do them, and with the right intents, I think that for us we can certainly learn a lesson and be inspired by this idea. That sometimes we feel like we're doing mitzvahs and perhaps we don't have the right intentions and our hearts are not really in it, and we're just doing things to just fulfill our obligation and go through the motions, and that's about it. And we wonder if it's worth it. And the answer is it's absolutely worth it. Because just doing the mitzvah, just doing the act, going through the motions, even if the heart is not in it, but just trying to do something, always has an impact. The idea of a mitzvah is bringing an action that is positive into this world. It's an act, it's a deed, and yes, one should have the heart in it, one should have the right intent, but it's the action itself that's important. Being a Jew at heart is not necessarily sufficient. One has to take that heart and put it into actions. And the actions themselves are very, very important and very, very impactful. God put us into a world of deed, of action, of physicality to perform positive actions. And while we want to do our best to put our hearts into it, even just the mere action has an impact, as we see from Balak. I hope you enjoyed this message, and I wish you a wonderful Shabbos.